Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio, and we have been buzzing about round one of the draft from last night. Some of the good, some of the bad, some of the confusing, but still, nevertheless, great job last night technically. Not really any technical faults last night. Yeah, Roger Goodell has a little explaining to do because he didn't have a great night. Here's the one thing. I never attribute personality. If you don't have personality, you don't have personality. There's really nothing you can do about it. You know, if you are not comfortable ad-libbing, if you're not comfortable being off the cuff, if everything that you do is sort of static and pre-planned and you know, sort of monotone, that's your nature. It's not, you know, this, it's hard to get out of that comfort zone. It's hard to create a personality when you don't have it. So I don't blame Goodell when he kind of reads the teleprompter like it's, you know, thank you for joining us tonight for the 2020 NFL Draft. We are excited to have you here with us as we can look forward to the future. Like if that's just the way he reads it, that's just the way he's going to be. But I would suggest his people get to him and say, look, Roger, I mean, let's work on an ability to deliver this. Let's work on an ability to sort, you know, if you're going to keep doing this, let's exude a little bit more warmth. I mean, there's an official way to do this, but then there's a little bit more than just reading off. Like, how about this? When you talk about the troops that are overseas serving our country and you are thanking them, don't look like you're reading it off the teleprompter when you're saying thank you to the troops who are serving our country, because it looks like you're just reading off a teleprompter. That was really my only complaint, you know, because again, given the circumstances that we're in, the fact that we were able to have this event last night, where for those who said the optics were not good, I think missed the overall point last night. I think this was a welcome addition to what we're going through as a country, what we're facing, the quarantine. Some of us were looking for this kind of content. Some people who don't really follow the draft, even they were probably looking for this kind of content. I think it worked, and it worked on a number of levels. We'll get into the devil of the details next.
Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call. It is SB Nation Radio. Round one of the draft went kind of normal in the first couple of picks, all the way through until...
Yeah,
I don't know, what was the biggest... What moment was the big surprise, like, wow, that guy landed there? Because I look at the first six picks of the draft and I went, okay, Andrew Thomas was a reach, but
it's not a surprise.
It's not a surprise. Like, look, Andrew Thomas going four is not a mind-blowing pick. Are there better graded tackles? I guess, but it depends on what grade you're looking for. You know, I'm not saying the Giants landed a home run here. They may have messed this up. They should have taken Tristan Wirfs or Mekhi Becton.
Obviously,
anybody else.
They didn't see Tristan jumping out of a pool.
Obviously, they didn't. So in that regard, maybe that was the case. But there wasn't about this yesterday. There wasn't a Titus Howard that came out of nowhere and
right.
was like, oh, my God, where was this team thinking?
I'm going to say the big one for me was Henry Ruggs. Being the first wide receiver.
Yeah, me too. Me too, because I was 100% sure it was CeeDee Lamb. I did.
Yeah, so was CeeDee Lamb.
So does CeeDee Lamb.
He told everyone yesterday that, you know, he's the clear favorite to be chosen. I don't know what anyone's thinking.
But you also, following the Broncos like I do, I knew that Denver wanted Jerry Jeudy, and they felt like they had to move up to get him. They had to move up.
I know. They must have thought when Raiders went Henry Ruggs, they probably said, okay, this is weird, but awesome.
Yeah. So, and here's the other thing. If you're Denver, there's another opportunity to take your chance. You're worried about the team that's moving up, but the Raiders take Ruggs. Buccaneers have got two good wide receiver options for Brady. They're probably not going in that direction, and San Francisco might be in the same boat. So Jerry Jeudy, then you go, let's take our chance and see if Judy's available there.
Yep.
And when the 49ers take Javon Kinlaw, nobody else is moving up. Now you're the Broncos, and you preserve the rest of your draft not having to move up. Because, man, that was the buzz coming out of Denver, was that was Elway. Elway was going to have to do that to get his guy. And I think Dallas was in the same position. I think Dallas said, look, who do we want in this draft? I don't think CeeDee Lamb was probably on the board in terms of availability. I think they probably thought he won't be available there.
Not at all.
And then Jared just runs to the computer and grabs the Oklahoma wideout.
You know what it kind of reminded me of? Wasn't it Josh Allen last year?
Yeah.
When, you know, Josh Allen was expected to go high in the draft, and then he just kind of fell in Jacksonville's lap. Or yeah. Was it somebody else?
I'll have to go look over my notes from that year.
Because there was someone I felt last year, there was someone like who was, everyone expected him to go really, really high, and then all of a sudden it was just like, oh, okay, well, we'll just take him here because no one else did.
And Jalen Reagor was a little bit of a surprise for the Eagles, but they, you know, he was.
I thought for sure they were going to move up.
Me too.
Given all their wide receiver issues. You know, I mean, they went. I guess in a way you could say the whole team went viral last year because they did not have a receiver at all. Everyone kept dropping passes.
Right.
Remember that one guy, that news interview?
Yeah, Nelson Aguilar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't drop the baby or whatever.
I didn't drop the baby like Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah, Nelson Aguilar, right. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, but Justin Jefferson, like my quick question was, Jalen Reagor, how does he grade over Justin Jefferson, who I liked, but I know Reagor was a good player for TCU. Again, the Vikings jump right in and they take Jefferson because Stephon Diggs is gone, so they're looking for a good wideout, and now they got him. But I guess Jordan Love is the big surprise of round one, and who took him. Not that he was taken, but who took him. Jordan Love definitely had first round potential by somebody, right? But he could have been also a Drew Locke / Geno Smith type of player that you could see going in round one, but he ends up going in round two just by circumstance. But the Packers moving into the 26th spot to get him was probably the big surprise. I don't think anybody in the first round was taken where it was a massive reach. That they were talking, you know, we're talking third round talent, fourth round talent. What the hell is he doing here on a Thursday? I mean, it seemed like everybody belonged there. You could make an argument, as everybody does, plus or minus where he ended up. Did he go too high? Did he go too low? But I don't think there's anybody on this board that didn't deserve to be there. I think everybody had, you know, first round potential. So overall, it was, you know, one of those drafts that seemed to, like I said earlier, I've been saying this all morning, I think a lot of teams left happy given their circumstance. I mean, everyone says they're happy. Don't get me wrong. Everybody says they're happy. You never get a GM or a coach that goes, man, this sucked. We wanted four players and they were gone. And we ended up with this kid who we don't really know anything about. We were forced to take him. This stinks.
How refreshing would that be? You have a GM who takes the podium and goes, yeah, we really screwed this draft up, guys. We're sorry.
Exactly.
To make up for it, we're discounting game one tickets.
Yeah. How do you feel about your first-round draft pick? Well, obviously, we don't know anything about him, and I guess he's good. We'll see. Like, they never, you know, they all go, no, it's the guy we wanted. We wanted the whole time.
Peer pressure got the best of us there.
Yeah, right. Wouldn't it be cool if they went, well, we meant to take this guy, but we kind of screwed up, and we got the cards mixed up.
Yeah.
In fact, we actually turned in the card that said we don't want this one under any circumstance.
I guess we meant to draft Mark Smith, but we ended up putting down Mike Smith.
Right.
It's a Freudian slip, really.
Congratulations, Chadron State defensive back Mike Smith. You're now a Buccaneer. Right. So, yeah, they all are happy. But I think realistically in the rooms they go to where no one is there, I think a lot of teams are saying, boy, that was great. We didn't have to mortgage anything, and we got who we wanted. I think the happiest team has got to be Miami.
Yeah.
Right?
Everything Miami, they wanted just kept falling into place for them.
Here was the great thing about the Dolphins, right? And I was talking to a friend of mine about this. If the Dolphins, because he's a big Alabama fan, and I said, if the Dolphins get Tua, which they did, but I said this before, so if the Dolphins get Tua, think about this. They didn't have to do anything historically awful to get him. They're not in the history books as, holy cow, this was an unbelievably terrible football team. There were four other teams that were worse than them, and they still ended up with the quarterback they wanted.
They still ended up for Tank for Tua.
They still ended up with Tank for Tua. And they didn't have to go 0-16 and lose every game by 40, and they didn't have to do any of that stuff. They just had a bad season with a couple of bright spots, and they still ended up with the quarterback that they said they really wanted at the beginning of the season.
Yep.
So there you go.
They don't have to go down in the record books as being the only team to have a perfect season and unperfect season.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
I mean, that's just dumb luck, I guess. Yeah. How do you... You don't wake up and feel that way, right?
No, but...
It's like some Kevin Costner stuff there.
And what if you're the Chargers? And what if the Chargers, you say, great, and you know what? We didn't have to chase anybody else for Justin Herbert,
yeah,
so we ended
for
up
sure,
with a guy.
God, thought for sure they were going to have to do something to get up to 3 or 4.
Yep. Jerry didn't have to get anybody to get an offensive weapon like CeeDee Lamb. Denver didn't have to do anything to get their guy. I mean, you look down the list of guys that fell into teams in the right spot who didn't have to move up or down at all to get the person they were looking for.
Do we fully believe that Redskins were fielding a bunch of offers for number two?
No. Because I wonder how much that...
Maybe they were fielding offers.
Okay, maybe they were fielding offers, but...
But, I mean, the fact that they were ever considering it.
No, I think teams are being more cautious about what they would give up to get a certain player, right? Everybody has their own value chart, right? So if you see Chase Young, what a kind of an edge rusher he is, what kind of player he is. People said he's the best player in the draft. He plays his position better than any player plays his position in the draft. Okay, that's a great way to look at it. But if you are a team that says, okay, we want him, but what would it take to get him? Are we willing to mortgage our entire first four rounds to pick him up? Are we going to mortgage 6 picks, 2 next year, 4 this year? Like, what would it take to get Chase Young? And I think teams are very wary. They like draft capital. They like it. They don't want to package 7 picks over 2 years to get one player. I think it'd be very, it would be tough to do that because the draft is so important into the process of getting yourself rebuilt. You need a number of them. You need quality players that are coming in. You need to be able to bring in a bunch of guys so that you don't keep a bunch of guys, right? You don't have to, because if you only have 4 picks in the draft, you got to hit a home run in all 4. But if you have 9, you can hit a home run with 6 of them and be pretty decent, be pretty good, right? Because again, not every one of these guys is going to work out. Everybody's happy, excited. Everybody's gotten camera time, putting on the hats. Some of these guys are going to be a where are they now segment 5 years from now.
Yep.
Right? I mean, some of these guys that who are told these great stories about overcoming this adversity or that adversity, some of them are going to go to the Hall of Fame and some of them are going nowhere. Yeah, some are going to get their money and be out of this league before you know it, buying a car dealership or a restaurant or something in their hometown. But some of these guys are going to change the franchises. You know, if you're Cincinnati, if I'm Joe Burrow, right, I'm now hoping Cincinnati puts me in a position where I'm going to, right, now I want my weapons. I want my offensive line. You're not going to bury me in the turf. I need to make sure I'm here and not struggling on an organization that's given me nothing.
So does Joe Burrow start?
Oh God, yeah. I think he kind of. That's a great question. Because I've seen
this
go both ways, man.
Yeah, that was one of the things I kept going over and over in my head. I was like, okay, does he start right away? I mean, I get it. Tua, you're probably going to start.
Yeah, he'd probably start too. But Ryan Fitzpatrick is still there.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and Ryan knows his role.
You know, Justin Herbert, you're probably starting.
You're probably starting.
But Joe Burrow, I mean, that's, you can say, they still have Anthony Dalton.
They still do, but they're probably going to get, I mean, dump him.
That's
soon.
The one person. How's Anthony Dalton feeling? We were talking about Aaron Rodgers earlier. Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking Aaron Rodgers earlier. How's the Red Rifle doing this morning?
How's he been feeling for the last 3 months or 5 months?
Knowing that this guy was coming to take your place.
Coming. Knowing this guy was on the, they were on the clock and nagging, snagging this guy,
Can't feel good.
I've seen it go both ways. Listen, I remember Bill Parcells when he drafted Drew Bledsoe, and they were gonna, there was a buzz in New England about, hey, was Scott Zolak start? And then Parcells like, no, this is if you make him the guy, he's the guy, put him in, let him make a bunch of mistakes, let him learn from those mistakes, and he'll be, the quicker
be
you can get rid of this, the pros, the
the transition, the better he's going to be. But then you've gone in another direction where you say, you know what? Guys have benefited from not jumping right in right away on a bad football team that needs a lot of work.
Look at the last two MVPs.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. Neither one of them were the starters coming out of the gate.
Exactly. And that's pay attention to Jordan Love down in Green Bay, because his career could totally benefit from the fact that they'll still go with Rodgers for a bit, and he gets to learn and go through everything that you go through being a backup quarterback in this league, all of the scheduling, learning the film, all the extra work you put in, and then you develop in the kind of player that you become. But you're right, the last two MVPs of this league were not handed the keys to their team the second they arrived in that town.
They're both first-round picks.
That's right.
Sat an entire year holding a clipboard.
That's right.
And then,
waiting for a moment.
Patrick Mahomes came in towards the tail end.
And Lamar Jackson came in on the tiptoe end of his when Flacco got hurt.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
yeah.
And then,
both of them came in.
Playoffs
like,
and lost to the Chargers.
Yeah, both of them came in like week 16?
Yeah, well, I'll have to look up. I know for Mahomes it was. I think Lamar Jackson had a few more weeks.
Did he have a few more?
Maybe, but I'm not 100% sure.
He did. Yeah, you're right. He came in because Flacco got hurt like the beginning of December.
Yeah, and then Flacco was healthy, and they still said, no, we're not even using him in the game they were trailing against the Chargers. All right, we'll get to your tweets coming up. We've also got Jared Dubin joining us from CBS Sports, his analysis on round one of the draft. It's all coming up as we process everything that was the draft of 2020 first round on a Thursday night. It is Friday on SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
O'Reilly Auto Parts help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier, so when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Now, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of BrakeBest pads and two BrakeBest rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, Ron, do you have available the announcement of the Tua pick by Roger Goodell available?
I certainly do.
I want to hear this again, because this was my fun moment of the evening.
With the fifth pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins select Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback, Alabama.
He has just enough of a pause there where he goes, did I get that? Did I do that right?
And then the way he finishes is like, I'm just going to say it. I don't even care.
Yeah. Saturday Night Live has a funny bit where they make fun of graduations, like high school graduations.
Right.
And the principal that's announcing names just giving up and just going with the flow. Like, Sanji, baba doo 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 doo. Like, and it's kind of funny because we've all been in those positions where you're doing a name and you're like, I have no idea, and then it just gets out of hand. He almost goes that route with Tagovailoa.
I don't care how long he's been in the league, and I don't care how much longer he will be in the league. I can't say Giannis' last name.
Yeah, that's true. But Giannis is different because I've heard it like two or three different ways. And I still don't know. Like, when I hear Wilbon say it, I go, well, that's not the same way that Ryan Rucco says it when he does a broadcast. And it's not the same way I hear Mike Breen say it.
Maybe I can say that about my quarterback.
Right.
Tyrod Taylor.
That was a Hard Knocks moment, right? Where we finally went, wait a minute. Yeah.
It's not Tyrod?
Why are we learning this on Hard Knocks?
That's Tyrod? It's Tyrod, not Tyrod.
Yeah.
That's why I'm just going to go ahead and just start saying Hebert. Justin Hebert.
Justin Hebert, why not?
After the great Bobby Herbert.
Bobby Herbert. Bobby Hebert did one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Bobby Hebert, the Saints, he played for the Saints, and he's on the broadcast team for the Saints as well, and radio talent in New Orleans. There was a broadcaster for the Saints for many, many years that was, remember when the Saints were terrible, bags on their head?
Oh, yeah.
The Aints, all of that?
Yep.
He one time said that if the Saints ever won a Super Bowl, he would put himself in a dress and march down Bourbon Street. And that was his kind of, he was known for, like, just so tired of the Saints losing. He said, I'd put on a dress and march down Bourbon Street if the Saints ever win a Super Bowl. And that announcer died before the Saints won the Super Bowl. And Bobby Hebert put himself in a dress and marched down Bourbon Street after the Saints had won the Super Bowl. And I thought that was really cool to honor the guy that was had been a longtime voice of the Saints and just, you know, just dying to see them finally win something. And then they did. So, yeah, Bobby Hebert also, he lashed out at one. He went off on a SEC coach a couple of years ago as well. Very vocal, very opinionated, vocal guy. But yeah, so Bobby Herbert and Justin Hebert, is that where we're
dangling
right now?
That's where I'm going with it.
That's not bad.
And Tua Tagovailoa.
Tua Tagovailoa, not going to work here anymore. Ah. Nice job.
Oh, but I loved your tweet about it, though. It's like you had how many weeks to work on that,
all
man?
All that time, man.
Just kept practicing. But like I said, I swear to God, he had said it right numerous times, and then when the big stage was on, he couldn't do it.
Yeah,
I bet you he's doing interviews today, talking about, or he's probably not doing interviews. But if he was to do interviews today, he would be saying it cleanly.
I guess it'd be like an actor just being in their trailer, and they nail it, and they nail it, and they nail it, and then when they get on the set, they go, "Oh, line."
Yep. And they go, Liberty Mutual.
Right, and so Goodell. Goodell probably nailed it in rehearsal, and then when push came to shove. Now, in all seriousness, do you think Goodell was drinking last night? Because he got accused of that a lot on Twitter.
Towards the tail end, maybe.
You know,
something in that jar of M&Ms.
Was that M&Ms? Because I thought it was Spree's too. I didn't know what that was, but did that look delicious?
No one has a jar that big of Spree's.
No, that's true. Spree's are not the kind of candy you just keep lying around. They're kind of sour. And
they're a Halloween candy. Yeah, you get them for Halloween. You hit the Spree's for a little bit, then you're like, oh, I'm good for next year.
Peanut M&Ms, you'll down like you'll down like aspirin. I mean, you just pop a bunch. Well, not aspirin.
Well, and the reason why I say this is because Darren Rovell was quick to point out that everyone in the NFL got a memo basically saying, hey, what you can wear, what you cannot wear, what you can have on camera, what you can't have on camera.
Right.
And the biggest violator apparently was Sean Payton.
Oh, okay. What did he do?
He had a Coke can in clear view his war room, a can of Crush, and Hershey's chocolate bar.
Good for him.
And apparently, that's how I'm assuming that it's Mars. Or that they were M&Ms because Mars Candy owns M&Ms.
You do the kind of detective work this show needs.
That's right. Well, I'm
listen to me thinking Roger Spree's.
Roger Goodell would know better, right?
Right.
He can't have any other candy except for Mars candies.
That's right.
Can only have Pepsi products.
Yeah.
And I was noticing a lot of houses had Pizza Hut delivered to their house last night.
That's true. That's true.
There are a lot of pizza boxes.
That's right.
Except at the Burrow household, they went Buffalo Wild Wings.
I didn't go down the road of accusing Goodell of drinking, but boy, people wanted to.
The only reason why is because as the night went on, there was a little bit more slurring to his words, and I don't know, maybe he's just tired at that point.
God, it's 4 hours, and he's you know, I don't blame him.
It's one of those things, and it's, you know, let's be honest. If we were to do a show, a four-hour show, where all we do is every 15 minutes come up and say a few lines and then sit back down and then wait another 15 minutes and then say a few lines, after a while, I mean, that's more tiring than you and I just talking for 3 hours straight.
Yeah, and the other thing that was missing was, look, he can turn to the television and talk to the 15 faces, but there's no crowd to give you energy.
No, not at all.
When you step on that stage in Nashville, Dallas, Philadelphia, wherever, you may be getting booed, but you're feeding off the energy of the night.
And
right?
That was, I'll be honest with you, that was awkward to see him every once in a while. Turn to the camera and go, oh, come on, Raven fans, you could do better than that.
Right, exactly.
Like, are they actually listening to him? Do they actually see him?
And why don't you just turn up the volume on your speaker for your computer if you can't quite hear them booing you?
And is that
a cue?
You can
make it as loud or soft as you want it.
Or is that a cue to the ESPN or NFL Network saying, hey, guys, pump in the boos.
Yeah, pump
I'm
in the
I'm walking up to the podium. Yeah. I come out to boos all the time.
Yep, exactly. So I don't blame him for being kind of exhausted after 4 hours of same stuff every night. Not really, no one to chat with, no business people around to confer with. You're just sitting there going, yeah, when's my time to go up and read off this teleprompter and this card?
listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is SB Nation Radio. It is Wake Up Call as we analyze the draft from last night. Round one in the books. Let's go to our Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Jared Dubin joining us, CBS Sports, to give his thoughts on what we saw last night in round number one. How are you, Jared?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Jared, were you shocked that neither Miami or the Chargers made a trade or moved up to get their quarterback that sort of just fell in their lap?
A little bit. I mean, certainly throughout the day, there were so many rumors about the Lions having talks with, I mean, every team in the draft, plus a few that probably don't exist, about moving down from number three. And a lot of it was, for some reason, centered on teams potentially coming up to get a tackle, which didn't make much sense to me. And I thought that it was sort of a smokescreen as someone coming up to actually get their quarterback of preference. And, you know, I am somewhat surprised that it didn't happen, but I guess these teams all figured nobody else was going up, so why do we need to go up for our guy?
Speaking of tackle, the Giants take Andrew Thomas. He was one of the first-round projections, but was that too high for him? Did they miss on that pick, or did they land it?
Yeah, I mean, most people had that top four group of tackles pretty close to each other with Thomas and Jedrick Wills and Tristan Wirfs and Mekhi Becton. I think that it was pretty obvious that they were going to take one of those four guys, and it was just going to be whichever one they liked the best. I thought potentially that they would have gone with Wills just because of the connection between Joe Judge and Nick Saban in Alabama, that I thought that would have made sense. But, you know, Thomas is a really good player as well, and I don't know that I can fault them for choosing any of those four tackles over the other. It did seem like pretty much everybody had them all in a group right together there.
Isaiah Simmons goes to Arizona. That makes it's a nice offseason for the Cardinals. Again, surprised that he fell at eight, or was that the range where he was going to be?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like once the top five went the way it did, it looked like somewhere in those next five picks or so was going to be where he went. You know, I was a little bit surprised that Carolina didn't take him at seven. I think when you're trying to build out a defense the way the Panthers are, where they really do not have much talent on that side of the ball, I would much rather have, you know, a versatile playmaker like Simmons than an interior defensive lineman who's not necessarily, you know, an Aaron Donald type sack artist from the inside. So, you know, for that reason, I love the pick for Arizona. I mean, they had, you know, as much as they needed to get Kyler Murray some help up front, I mean, they had so many more problems on defense last year than they did on offense. And Simmons, just with the way, you know, his versatility is able to be weaponized, he can solve a different problem on every down. He can be an edge rusher. He could be an off-ball linebacker. He can play in the slot. He could be a deep safety. He could do pretty much whatever you want him to do. Adding a player like that to your defense, I mean, Simmons himself said it this week, you know, you get 53 players on a roster, and if you have him, it might be like having 56. And yeah, he's really good, and the way they can put him into all different kinds of roles is really exciting.
A lot of people are taking different angles with this story, but it was the big one of the night, Green Bay moving into the 26th spot to take Jordan Love. Everyone wanting to know what this means with Aaron Rodgers' contract down the line. How much grooming does Love get? Franchise future quarterback of this team. How did you analyze what they were doing to compared to what you thought they were going to do when wherever they were going to be picking in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that they were going to, you know, at 31, take a wide receiver to get Aaron Rodgers some help, which was obviously the widespread expectation from pretty much everybody. That said, I do think that, you know, I haven't actually watched that much of Love myself. You know, I don't spend a lot of my time watching Mountain West football since I have, you know, my job covering everything else. That said, I think the process for them is sound. You know, they identified a guy that they think can be a quarterback of the future. They didn't give up that much to move up and go get him. You know, Love is a guy who a lot of people thought might need, you know, a year or two to sit and learn. And certainly the Packers have the kind of quarterback in place that would allow him to do that. I mean, if you look at Rodgers' contract situation, I would say Love is going to sit for at least 2 years just because of the kind of dead money that the Packers would have sitting on their cap if they were to cut ties with Rodgers before then. And then just because of the receiver depth in this class, they can get a wide receiver at some point tonight in round two or three that is basically a first-round quality receiver in other drafts and still get Rodgers the kind of help he needs. Realistically, they can double up, take a receiver in rounds two and three, and then nobody will really be talking quite as much about how they went and got his successor instead of getting him some help.
Yeah, that's
so I do
a
think
point.
That the process there, I do think the process there is sound just because of the way the draft lines up for them, and they got their guy that they want, and they have the quarterback in place to let him sit and learn, and they still have the ability to go get the guys that Rodgers needs to succeed over these next couple of years.
And I think that's really important because there's a lot of people who get really narrow focused on round one and kind of forget that we're going to be doing this for the next 2 days and we're going to do this in multiple rounds. So anybody that's pointing out that they owed Rodgers some weapon, well, you're right. That weapon can come tonight. It can come twice tonight. It can come in a number of places depending on how they want to maneuver their draft capital.
Right. You know, if they come out of, you know, rounds two and three with, you know, just to pull two receivers off the top of my head, like Michael Pittman and Chase Claypool, I don't think anybody's going to be talking about how they didn't go and get Rodgers enough help.
Yep, exactly. Jared Dubin joining us, CBS Sports, as we go over round one of the draft. Is there anybody that you felt really whiffed, that really made a mistake, that there was a player that they really needed or a player that was higher in the class of the position that they were taking? Does anything stand out?
Yeah, I don't particularly understand the Seahawks taking Jordan Brooks where they did. You know, they are a team that for some reason sort of refuses to come out of their base defense, and they want to play three linebackers on the field at all times. They almost never want to go to their nickel, and I guess that's sort of the reason behind picking a linebacker. But if you're going to do that, I mean, why not take the best pass coverage linebacker, non-Isaiah Simmons division left in the draft in Patrick Queen, who went one pick later to Baltimore. Jordan Brooks is a player who is talented and certainly fits the athletic profile of what the Seahawks look for. But I just think there's a time where you shouldn't be quite as narrowly focused on that athletic profile as the Seahawks tend to be and take the guy who makes, you know, more sense in the modern NFL, or, you know, admit that you don't need to stay in, you know, your base 4-3 defense 90% of the time or whatever it was that they were doing last year. You know, get Russell Wilson some help on the offensive line, get a playmaker on the outside for, you know, to help in the secondary or something like that. It was not a pick that I loved, I would say.
And on the flip side, and maybe outside of the top picks, which are expected to be game changers and generate excitement, who do you think landed a guy that maybe shouldn't have landed him, but just by fate, they ended up with the guy that's maybe a little bit more valued than where they were positioned?
I have a few of them. I don't want to spend too much time nerding out about my Cowboys taking CeeDee Lamb and trying to drop 40 points on everybody and anybody. But that was, I mean, it was wildly unexpected for him to be available at 17. Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones after the draft said he was the number six player on their board, and they didn't do any mock draft in all of draft season that he was available for them at number 17. And certainly nobody else really had him available at number 17
right
throughout the draft process. So I thought that was obviously just a home run pick for them. I think that the Bucs landing the fourth offensive tackle, having it be Tristan Wirfs, and just fall into their lap, and they didn't have to go to, you know, the next group of guys, you know, whether it was Austin Jackson or Isaiah Wilson or anybody else that might have been a first-round possibility, like Josh Jones or something like that. I thought that was good for them, and they didn't give up too much to move up that one spot. And then, you know, Justin Jefferson, for me, to the Vikings, I had him as, you know, the next receiver after that top group of three, and I might have even rather had him than Henry Ruggs, just because I think he's a more versatile player. So the Vikings having him fall into their laps at 22, I think that they were able to get a really good player there. I like him a lot.
Does Jalen Reagor's pick by the Eagles, is that a little off, or is it one half dozen of the other between those two guys?
Yeah, I mean, I like Jefferson better, but Reagor, if you're looking for a speed guy, certainly is more of that than Jefferson is. You know, Jefferson, I don't know that he necessarily plays as fast as his combine speed. He just could do so many different things. But if you're looking for a guy who can, you know, take the top off and stretch the field, you know, we saw what happened to the Eagles offense last season when DeSean Jackson was on the field and then when he wasn't. And certainly you can't necessarily count on his being healthy all the time. And if you need someone to fill that kind of role, you know, I suppose that that's where they were coming from with taking Rager instead. And it seemed like that they were a team that was pretty interested in Henry Ruggs. And once he didn't make it to them, then they were going to go in a different sort of speed receiver kind of direction.
Jared, do you take anything out of, and this is kind of a statement we seem to make a lot in the drafts. There were 15 SEC guys taken out of 32, 9 of them between LSU and Alabama. It is a powerful conference, of course, but is there anything more out of this year's crop of SEC players and the domination of that conference in the draft, or is it just, yep, another one of those SEC statements they seem to make all the time?
Yeah, I mean, it's the best conference in the country. It has been for a while. I'm sure it probably will be for a while beyond now. And I don't know that it's any more complicated than that. Like, these guys are all going high in the draft because they're all really, really good.
And it's one of those, again, you're talking nearly 50% of the picks are coming from this conference. Yeah, I know there's a lot of conference pride, but also, too, I mean, it's if you kind of put these guys from, if they're all competing against each other, it does make it easier when they get to the NFL and they're playing on that level. That's what we heard about Joe Burrow this entire process was, look, he's played against some of the best competition in the country. Yes, the transition of the pros is going to be a challenge, but look at who he's beating.
Yeah, I mean, look, the transition to the pros is challenging for everybody, except, I guess, like Patrick Mahomes. But, you know, other than that, like, everybody is going to have some sort of adjustment to make. And obviously, it's, I don't know that it's necessarily easier, but certainly you have a leg up on the competition when you are competing against, you know, some of the best players in the country. I mean, you see that with the SEC. I think you see it at times with the Big Ten. I mean, you look at it, three guys just from Ohio State went in the first round as well. You know, it's, again, anytime you're competing in the top of the country, you're going to have a little bit of an easier time transitioning to the NFL. And that's why, I mean, you almost always see almost all Power Five players going in the first round. And last night was no different.
All right, I'll get you out with this quick question for tonight, maybe even through the weekend, but mostly tonight with those with the two rounds. Are we talking about a what kind of drop-off are we talking about? Are we still talking about a lot of high-quality players that people should be paying attention to?
I think so, especially at sort of the premium positions. You know, not necessarily quarterback. I think the class sort of dropped off, you know, immediately after that top two for me, and potentially after the top three or four for others. But I think at wide receiver, at cornerback, and even at offensive tackle, there are still a bunch of really good players left. And then there are a bunch of edge guys that I think you can find either if you're looking for an athlete that you can turn into a dynamic pass rusher, or you're looking for a guy who, you know, may not necessarily have the explosive athletic numbers, but is technically sound and produced really well at the college level. I think you could find that too. It's just not necessarily the guys anymore who are the combination of both. So I do think that there's quite a bit of value at the positions that matter most in the NFL right now, especially today.
Jared, thanks for getting up with us. I know it was a long night for a lot of us last night. I really do appreciate your time, my friend.
It's no problem. My dog wakes me up at 6 in the morning every day anyway. So
you got it.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Jared Dubin, CBS Sports. Again, on our Progressive guest line, quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Come back, more thoughts on round one of the draft on Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Michael's got a nice tweet for you, Ron, you Star Wars nut. Obi-Wan Brady, this is not the pick you're looking for. Bucks GM, this is not the pick we're looking for. Brady, you need to take an offensive tackle. GM, we need to take an offensive tackle. Carry on. Tampa Bay trick picks Tristan Wirfs. Perfect. That's exactly what we were saying.
Yep.
Big Mac on Twitter wants to know about Ruggs' bathrobe. Yeah, did you see that?
Yes.
And yes.
The Come bathrobe on, man.
Pick. How?
Come on.
Henry Ruggs wearing the robe.
Okay, did he
He's
not
going
think
Hugh
maybe
Hefner.
Did he think he was not going to get picked then? Maybe that was it?
Yeah.
You know, he's probably sitting there looking at it going, you know, Judy's going to get picked before me. CeeDee Lamb's going to get picked before me. I got time.
This is what they told him. His family probably said, hey, go take a shower real quick and then come down, you know, and get dressed and come downstairs. So he took a shower. He got in his robe. And they said, come down. It's already starting. And he sat and he just could not get away.
Yep.
And he's like, I can't even go to my room and get dressed. I'm captivated by this. And they're like, well, you better hurry up because we're going to be on camera soon. Yeah. You could be one of the top receivers taken.
But at the same time, robe looked good.
Robe did look good.
He got the plush one.
The robe look. Yeah, I know.
That's from the high end hotel that you steal.
That's right. Oh, when I was on my cruise ship over the summer, they had robes in the room, and I went down and bought one.
And you stole? Oh, no, you're supposed to steal them. I'm supposed to buy them.
But don't they know that you stole them?
Probably.
When the cleaning staff comes in, they go, "Well, we're down two robes."
Yeah.
So we're going to.
You
want to
know what Michael Irvin said about Henry Ruggs?
What do you say?
He goes, "Yeah, that tells you something about that wide receiver right there." He's letting you know big plays and TDs. He's right at home with that.
Yeah.
That's why he's wearing his robes. He's making a statement early.
That's awesome. What a fantastic analysis. Oh, God. I would rather have somebody go, you know what that robe does? It absorbs all that water and makes you dry faster.
That's right.
That's what it does, and it's comfortable, and it keeps you warm. That's what that robe did. SB Nation AM.